Okay, everybody, we are beginning. My name is Nuritzi Sanchez, and I'm here to introduce Gurav, who will be speaking about accessibility and the free desktop. Gurav, take it away.
Thank you. I hope you can read that. It's pretty big. Okay, so let me just wait for the signal from the streaming guys. Okay, so I'll be speaking on accessibility and the free desktop. A couple of things about me. My name is Gaurav Parikh. I am from Jaipur, India, also known as the Pink City. It's a pretty famous tourist destination if you ever happen to visit. I am primarily a WordPress developer. I do web-related things. I am a free software advocate. I started using free software exclusively in probably the late 2007 or early 2008. I've been working with local organizations, you know, companies and different people, you know, trying to convert people to free software, different distributions, Fedora, Ubuntu, Red Hat, whatnot. I've tried everything and I've tried converting people to every one of them. So pretty much a native. I currently work as a happiness engineer at Automattic. Most of you might know Automattic from WordPress.com, which is supposedly a big thing in the web services market. I'm working on accessibility awareness since 2011. I have worked with a number of local organizations, trying to move them from proprietary accessibility products like those from Freedom Scientific or Nuance and similar companies to free software solutions like the GNOME Desktop, for different types of disabilities. There are like different accessibility projects which we will talk about in some time. Okay, so this is a link you might want to note down if you want to know more. There's a link to these slides on this page. There will be more material after the talk is over, maybe a couple of pictures or blog posts or something like that. So if you want to note this down, this page has a link to these slides and other slides, and it'll have more information after the talk is over. So I hope you have noted down this if you're interested. Okay, so let's talk about disability. What exactly is disability? What are the challenges? I thought that I would, you know, say difficult words and throw some terminology at you. But, you know, when I was attending the keynote, there was a thing that computing should be accessible to everyone. And I thought of, you know, something which I am going to demonstrate to you.
Screen reader on. No,
okay.
Wikipedia.
I would like all of you to close your eyes for like 30 seconds and imagine that all of your computing is done with this voice in your head.
Oh. Ba-o. Ba-i. Backspace. Ba-i. Gnome Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, Mozilla Firefox frame. Gnome heading level 1. Back I 1 design link. Back I 1.1 QI 1.2 I 1.3 I 1.4 I 2 applications link. Left alt screen reader off.
Okay, I suppose I have made my point clear. As you can see, or rather not see, that you know, accessing information this way is extremely slow, extremely difficult. Now imagine someone who has been living like this, you know, without being able to see anything for, you know, n amount of years. Maybe it's a kid who never knew what exactly light is or what vision is. Maybe it's a child who has a muscular disability and who cannot use a regular keyboard or a mouse like we can do. We take all these things for granted. All the while, there are millions of people in the world who can tell you otherwise. Okay, so I have some statistics here. Just in the Asian Pacific, around 650 million people have a disability of some kind. Now, these disabilities range from anything from visual impairment to blindness to muscular dystrophy. Some people don't like it, like calling it that, but mental retardation. It's not a politically correct word, but it's still something that people understand. Cerebral palsy. And, you know, there are a lot of other, I think legally I can tell you about 18 different categories of disabilities are there. And these 650 million people in just the Asian Pacific suffer from some kind of disability. I have some statistics on visual impairment, which seems to be one of the major challenges when it comes to accessibility. So around 40 million people in the world are blind. That is completely blind. They cannot tell that there is light in front of their eyes, even if, you know, there is a bright light. Out of these 40 million people, around 15 million people are in India itself, the country where I come from. So in a country of 1.3 billion people, around 15 million people are completely blind. Now, these people range from, you know, infants to old people. So the challenge we actually face is a lot of these people, like a majority of these people, come from backgrounds which are socially and economically backward. So a lot of these are poor people, people from places where there's no access to basic services, where education for disabled people is not seen as something believable. I can tell you from personal experience that people still don't believe that people who are blind can study and, you know, pass college degrees. But I can tell you, my father is 63 years old, and when he was 1.5 year old, he lost his eyesight, and he still completed his master's and went on to become a, you know, high-ranking officer in the government for 36 years. So I don't believe people when they think that, you know, people who are born with a disability or who acquire a disability don't deserve a chance. Okay, so what is the solution? The solution is simple. You know, if you think about it, internet is, you know, it's a blessing. Some people think otherwise, but internet is something that that can take someone and take someone from a very bad situation and redeem them in ways they can't imagine, they couldn't have imagined. And I suppose that internet is something you know, I'm not able to express it in words, but I hope, since all of you are from a free software community, you must understand that internet is something, even if you're not from a privileged background, internet is something that will take you places. A number of people here are from different places, you know, and they are here because they are connected to other like-minded people through the internet. And internet is such a resource that even if you are from a remote place in Africa or an extremely rural place, a small village in any part of India or Bangladesh or any other South Asian country, even any African place, you know, you understand what I'm saying. any place which doesn't have access to anything, if you get internet there, you can bring out skills in people that you couldn't imagine were possible. And imagine if this gift of internet was to be given to people who didn't think that anything was possible with their lives. So this is my solution to, you know, every problem that anyone with any kind of disability faces, because knowledge is something that will lift you. Doesn't matter wherever you are. Okay, so we've been talking about accessibility. So what exactly is accessibility? So the first point that people understand is accessibility is the state of being able to be accessed by anyone irrespective of their situation, their abilities or disabilities, or, you know, their situations in general. Then accessibility is also the technological means to reach such a state. So we, you know, we as people in software, anytime we talk about accessibility, you know, accessibility toolkit, ATK, Orca, speech dispatcher, eSpeak, you know, I could throw a lot of technical words, but usually they all come under this particular point. Next is the socio-economic framework to reach such a state. And this is one major concern that, you know, people tend to forget when talking about accessibility. So this is very important, especially in parts of the world where, you know, reach of internet is not there, or, you know, computers are expensive. For example, if you buy a $1,000 computer in USA, the same computer will cost you $1,600 in, you know, the third world, if I might say. So coupled with the exchange rates and stuff like that, it actually makes it a lot more difficult to acquire technology to bring people out of their limitations, especially in countries or especially in places which are not considered the first world or the developed nations or places like that. Okay, so as I was talking about the socio-economic framework to reach a state of accessibility, so this is the major failure that we face when talking about technology helping people come out of, you know, problematic situations or situations in general. So I was actually looking for a device called a Braille embosser a couple of weeks ago, and the cheapest Braille Braille embosser is a device that, you know, people with visual impairments can use to read stuff. It's a little device which dots that come up. If you're not familiar with Braille, just do a search and you'll see it's a script that, you know, you can use to read stuff by feeling from your hands. It has a pattern of dots. So just do a quick search if you're not familiar with Braille. So a Braille embosser is a device which does this dynamically. So it's like a USB device. You connect it to your computer and all the text, you can read it by touching it with your hands. And the cheapest Braille embosser I could find was somewhere, I don't remember the exact price, but it was more than $1,000. So it's like a device which is this big, 10 inches or so. And it costs $1,000. And you know, the reason people aren't able to make cheaper devices with such capabilities is because corporations don't want them to. It's a huge market. People earn a lot of money. And since it's a necessity for some people, you know, the market hasn't come to a state where you could buy a cheap or an affordable device like that. Similar devices exist. For example, a hardware speech engine, they cost a ton. Even software-based solutions like products from Freedom Scientific, there is a screen reader called JAWS which costs $1,200. For example, $1,200 is, you know, is a reasonable amount of money, for example, in Europe or US, but it's a huge amount of money in a country where, you know, for example, $1 is equivalent to around 67 Indian rupees. So $1,200 USD is a lot of money. And you could buy 10 computers in that price. If you buy them locally, you could probably build 10 computers in that price. So this is where we have failed. If I divide people into two categories, like people who are privileged, people who are born with all their organs intact, we have 10 fingers, so we can use the keyboard. But for example, a kid with cerebral palsy, that kid cannot move his or her fingers properly. They can't use the keyboard. So, for example, a kid who cannot see, and if the only access to computers is through a software that costs $1,200, then we have failed them. We, as people who are able-bodied or living in privilege, we take these things for granted. But if we can't provide means for people who are less abled to access the vast gift, vast amount of knowledge and information that the gift of internet gives us, then we have failed these people. Okay. It's not going to the next slide. I don't know why. Okay. So how does free software help people who, let's say, are from not so privileged situations? So free software is easily accessible. When I say accessible, you can probably, if you want Ubuntu, you don't have to go to a store and purchase it. You can download it. Let's say you have one slow internet connection in a remote place, you could probably wait 10 days, but you can download and use Ubuntu or Fedora or Red Hat or SUSE or, any kind of free software project. It's not limited to operating systems, but it is still easily accessible. Yes, low cost. If you want to use, for example, a GNU Linux distribution, the only expense would be the computer and probably, the bandwidth consumed, or maybe, a volunteer who can get you a CD, or you can write to one of the companies, they can send you a free CD or something like that. So the cost is a great advantage, as I talked about the expensive software. Possibility of improvement by community, you're all familiar with this. This is why we are here. So I won't explain this point very much, but let's say your screen reader doesn't support your language. You can just gather 15 students from the local university, work on it for a year, and you have support for a new language. You want a new language from the company, you pay them, they'll say, pay us $15,000 or $50,000 or something like that. Maybe we'll add support for your language in the next to next version, and you still don't know if it'll happen. Educational avenues, you want to add new features, just gather 10 students and work with them on it for a year. It'll make a great project. The students will learn a lot. Maybe they'll get extremely awesome jobs because they've worked on a free software project. Independence from large foreign corporations. Now, I'm kind of a skeptic when it comes to trusting large foreign corporations. Although I am using a Dell computer, but I can say stuff. So I don't trust large foreign corporations. For some people, these are large domestic corporations, but the point still remains the same. These are large corporations driven by only one interest, that is money. And when you talk about doing good for the society, you can't trust corporations who are driven by money. Okay, so this point is actually very important. Easy to fund and support for governments of underdeveloped economies. Now, I have recently added this point. I actually added this point after I finished up the making the presentation. That is why the margins are all off. So I actually applied to get a couple of government issued software a couple of months ago, and 3 or 4 days before leaving for Germany, I received 4 CDs in mail. These CDs actually contained software in local languages for four. I applied for software in four different languages. So all of these CDs had translated versions of, say, LibreOffice, Ubuntu, Thunderbird, Firefox, iSweezel even. You know, copies of them for Windows and for GNU Linux distributions, although they were using the tar files that you can just extract and run. It's not ideal, but it's still... And they had language files for the festival screen reader. So India is not a developed country. It's kind of under development. It's a developing country, I would say. But due to currency differences and things like that, it is still very expensive for the government to procure software from, you know, let's say American or European corporations. So they decided to develop their own stuff. And there's an organization called CDAC, which actually did all the development work. I don't have the CDs with me right now, because otherwise I would have to bring a CD player as well. My laptop doesn't have a DVD drive, so I cannot show them to you. But the link to the page I shared, I will put links to the information on that page, so you'll probably be able to see it afterwards. Sorry? CDAC. Yeah, it's an abbreviation, so CDAC. Center for Development of Advanced Computing. Okay, so what currently do we have? I suppose we are running out of time, so I'll quickly go through this. Screen readers and TTS engines for the visually impaired. I did give a couple of seconds of demo for this. You heard the robotic voice. It's not there yet. It's, you know, it's hard to understand if you're just starting out. But if you don't have anything, you know, if you get something, it's good enough for now. There are better quality screen readers in the free software world, but they don't have support for a lot of regional languages and stuff. The voice that you heard was from eSpeak, which is the default speech synthesizer for GNOME Orca project, which is the default screen reader for GNOME. Although I am not running the default GNOME desktop, I run Elementary OS, but it works on all GNOME stack based software. So it's good enough if you just want to get started. There is Festival, which is better quality, but it's not as integrated, so you have to do some work to do that. Easier navigation and input methods for the motor impaired. Motor impairment is also a big problem. So we have a couple of projects. The most notable, I would say, is Dasher. Dasher is an input method. You can just do a quick search if you don't know what Dasher is. It's an input method that you can use with, you know, let's say you're able to use only one finger on one hand. You can use Dasher to actually write like 15-20 words per minute with Dasher without using a keyboard or anything. So Dasher is pretty cool as a text input. It's available for Android as well, you know, as a replacement keyboard, and it works on GTK and Qt and other applications using different toolkits. I actually don't know of a lot of other projects. We have like accessibility related settings in almost all desktop environments. You have high contrast themes, you have color correction in some places. For example, Android recently got a feature for I think color blindness. You can switch colors for, you know, I don't think we have anything like that on free software desktops yet, but if anyone wants to work on that, they're more than welcome. Okay, since we are out of time, I won't go into examples. We already had like a quick demo. If you have any questions, you know, do we have any time for questions?
Okay, so unfortunately we've run out of time, but if you have any questions, please email or contact him.
Yeah, so there's the link, there's my GitHub, there's my Twitter, my Google+, and I'm here for like 3 more days, so offline questions are always welcome.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for presenting. We really appreciate it. Let's give a round of applause.
Thank you for having me.